Here's the parable of the sower. He spoke many things to them in parables. Everybody say parables. Okay, so illustrated sermons, illustrated stories. Behold, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some seed fell in stony places where they did not have much earth. They immediately sprang up, but because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground. Someone say good ground. And yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So Christ says that last statement seven times. So let me just say something to you. The moment you came to Christ, God gave you spiritual ears. You can hear God's voice. You can be led by God's Spirit. As many as are the children of God, these are led by the Spirit of God. The disciples said to him, "Why do you speak in parables?" He said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it has not been given to the religious establishment of the generation he spoke to." Now, this is an important point. So he said, not only is a parable a comparison or a contrast between a natural thing and a heavenly reality, it is also a mystery. And that there has to be spiritual understanding to understand this true spiritual implications or revelation of the parable. So he said, I'm going to say things and they won't get it because they're not tuned into the same station. Okay? For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now he's talking specifically about the dynamics of spiritual truth, of kingdom revelation. So people that get revelation get more revelation. People that open up and understand and pursue God and have ears to hear and are using their ears, they get more. People that don't, they lose what they have. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. So he's talking about the dull hearts of those people. Verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, but did not see it, to hear what you hear, but they did not hear it. Therefore, hear now. See, now he's talking to their other ears. They heard it with their sense ears. Now they're going to hear it with their spiritual ears. He's going to interpret the parable. Most of his parables were not interpreted, but this is the key parable. This is the first, the primary. It's the parable that gives us understanding about how all the kingdom works and about how parables work. Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Okay, so the first was the hard ground or the roadway. So he's passing out, he's throwing seed in a field, and some goes to maybe the road where it's just a hardened piece of ground, and it did not penetrate the soil, and the birds came. And he said, all that happened because of no understanding. But he that receives the seed on stony places, the second type of soil, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. And yet he has no root in himself, but endures for only a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he or she stumbles. The second soil, the rocky ground. Now he that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives the seed on good ground is he that hears the word, understands it, and bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us the gift of your word, how we honor, we celebrate, and we rejoice in your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revelation today, for opening the ears and eyes of our hearts so we can know the will of God, the kingdom of God, and know you. Thank you for anointing your servant, your word, and your people. Thank you for showing the devil who's boss today. We love you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. So there are four types of soil. So let's just talk about what that means. It can be four different people. The person who's not open to God, who's not receptive, and even when they hear the gospel or hear the word of the kingdom, it comes to them. And because they weren't really locked in, it's gone like that. The second soil, the person that hears it, gets excited about it, but doesn't have a persevering heart. When difficulty comes, they fade away, they pull back, and they're unfruitful. The third one is the compromising one. Everything looks good, but there's no fruit because there's too much compromise. Too much worldliness prevents too much heavenliness, okay? So they can't bear fruit. And then the last one, the good soil, that hears the word of God, understands it, and then produces fruit. So we could say those are four kinds of people, but that's a little simplistic to me. I would say that all of us, my uncle Rich was a farmer in Iowa, and he had 1,500 acres of farm. That's a pretty big farm for a little family farm. And they had, on all those massive ground, they would grow many crops contemporaneously. They would grow them at the same time, many different things. So there'd be a corn and wheat. I forget all the things. I love the corn because it would grow so tall. We'd run in the fields and hide. You know, you play hide and seek really good. And so they had all these crops. And so one farmer had many fields. And so for us, really, our heart has almost always these four kinds of things happening simultaneously. So we have areas in our heart that we're prospering, we're believing God, we're doing good, we're being fruitful. We have other areas in our heart where God speaks to us, but we're not even plugged in. That word just goes away. We have other areas in our life where we haven't developed perseverance, we haven't learned how to stand, you know, for something God wants to do. And then compromise. So it can be that we go through these four stages in different parts or even at the same time in our life. So these four stages, let's talk about them briefly. The wayside is the person with no understanding. Satan steals the word. Proverbs 2 says, "My son, if you receive my words, treasure my commandments. Incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding." Everybody say understanding. "If you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, seek her as silver, search for as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." So God gives understanding. So in the kingdom of God, understanding is not simply an intellectual function of your cognitive abilities. It is a divine gift. God opens up your mind to understand his will. And because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you have the spirit of understanding so you can know the will of God and know the things of God's word. One of the great lies of the devil is when he tells people, "You can't understand this," or "You can't understand that," "You can't understand the Bible." The devil is a liar. You can understand the Bible. It was written for you. It's a love letter written from God for you. I pray this prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. Every single day, here's the Pauline prayer, the Holy Spirit praying for the church, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what the hope of his calling is, the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of the power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Just three things, that you might know who you are, what you have, and what you can do. Okay, now look up here. So every day I pray, God, thank you for wisdom. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for understanding. Every single day I pray that prayer because I recognize the massive significance that is involved in not understanding something God wants to do. When I don't understand it, the devil steals it. Y'all with me? Well, I don't understand that. He takes it. But if God gives something to me, I'm supposed to understand it. I have the capacity through the Holy Spirit to understand it. Understanding the will of God. Ephesians chapter 5. That we might understand the will of God. Don't be unwise, but understand the will of God. So a cool word, sumiomini is the Greek word for understanding, sumiomini. And here's what it means. It means to comprehend something, to perceive something. But it literally means in the Greek, to put together the pieces of something until you see the whole picture. It literally means to put together a puzzle. So what understanding does, it helps you to put the pieces of life together and to understand the big picture. Isn't that awesome? So the Holy Spirit in your life, your journey, your walk with God in the world of your circumstances wants you to understand the will of God. Luke chapter 24, the road to Emmaus, Christ opened the hearts of his disciples. Verse 45, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. What a beautiful thing that is. Understanding in Daniel chapter 1. In all matters of wisdom, understanding about which the king examined them, he found the three Hebrew children, Daniel, 10 times better than the magicians and astrologers who were with them in the realm. I want you to say this with me, and especially anybody here, you say, well, Pastor, the devil always tells me I can't understand things. I can't understand the Bible. I don't read the Bible because I can't understand it. The devil's a liar. You're going to fall in love with the Bible. God's going to speak to you like a father to a son and daughter. Okay, so let me read this. Then we're going to say this together. Father God, thank you for filling me with wisdom, revelation, and understanding. I boldly declare that I can't understand God's word. Thank you, God, for giving me an understanding heart in Jesus' name. Now, I want to pray that, but if the devil has tried to attack you and tell you that you can't understand the Bible or parts of the Bible or things of God, I want you just to take a bold step, and we're all going to say this, but if that's you, I want you to stand up and read it and tell the devil today, today I'm declaring I can't understand the Bible. I can't understand the will and word of God. Wherever you are, just stand up and say, that's going to be me, Pastor. I'm going to press in understanding. The devil's a liar, okay? So let's read this together. Everyone out loud, Father God, thank you for filling me with wisdom, revelation, and understanding. I boldly declare that I can understand God's word. Thank you, God, for giving me an understanding heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone say, I can't understand the Bible. Okay. And please, I ask your forgiveness as someone who does this for a living. I ask your forgiveness for anything that I've ever done that has clouded your understanding. It's so important that we preach the gospel in its simple, profound truth, and not complicate what God has made so simple. Amen. Now there are great complexities that we can grow into, but really, the entry point of walking with God is knowing God loves you, knowing he sent his son for you, knowing the Bible is his love letter for you, and that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and you can understand the Bible. Amen? You can understand the Bible because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So for you folks that stood especially, just every day this week, say, I can't understand the Bible. I can't understand the Bible. Amen? There's a great app, a Bible app, from the church, from Life Church in Oklahoma. It's free. It has now, I think, 53 English translations of the Bible. So I preach from New King James Bible, but I kind of like the poetry of it. But I often read from Message, from Amplified, from NIV, from English translation. So there's so many awesome ways. And find a translation that works for you, okay? Find one that works for you, and then just go for it all the time. Everybody say again, I can't understand the Bible. Okay, the second soil was stony places, okay? Now, all of us have had stuff in the kingdom that we gave up too early on. Oh, nothing's happening. So the stony place is the place where perseverance is the key, okay? So the ones that fell on the stony ground are what happened. They grew immediately, but eventually the devil found a place to plant the seed of offense. No depth, no root, because offended when difficulties arise. So notice what Christ said. When persecution or tribulation is You know, when the enemy unleashes assaults against you, tribulation is just the Greek word for pressure, stress. Like Mark said, when you're squeezed, you find out what's in you, it comes out. But Jesus said tribulation and persecution will come because of the word. Why? The devil is afraid of the word. Look at me. He's not afraid of you. He's afraid of the word in you. And when the word gets in you, it empowers you until it shows you your identity. Amen. Who you are, what you have, what you can do. The hope of your calling. And so he's afraid of that. So he attacks the word. And so the seed's planted, but it's rocky ground or it's not very deep ground. And if you go to England or other places, it's cool. One day I was looking at all the rock fences. I mean, miles and miles of these rock fences. And I said, man, well, where'd they bring in all those rocks from? And they said, no, they didn't bring them in. Those are rocks they took from the ground. So in order to successfully farm the ground, they took all these rocks out and then they built their fences with them. So our part of our job is to allow God to have some depth in us. And depth in us is represented by roots. And those roots are pictures of perseverance. Okay? Perseverance. When in the Gospel of Luke, as Christ talks about the good soil, here's what he said in Luke 8:15. But the ones that fell on good ground, everybody say good ground. Say my heart is good ground. Are those who, having heard the word with a noble, man, I love that, a noble and good heart. Everybody say, I've got a noble and good heart. Keep it and bear fruit with patience, okay? Hupomone is the word for patience. It means this, perseverance, bearing up, steadfastness, patience, to remain in one spot, to keep a position, used for soldiers to stand their ground and defend what had been gained no matter what. Everybody say no matter what. Okay, no matter how hard or difficult the assignment, staying power, a refusal to give up. The early church called Hupomone the queen of virtues. They recognized how necessary it was for us to have persevering hearts and not just tell your neighbor, don't give up. So discouragement, I to me, the greatest enemy you'll ever face in your Christian journey is discouragement. And so discouragement is when you want to quit before God's done. And the enemy tries to convince you by argument, by circumstances, by pain. Why are you believing God? Like Job's wife, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job said, I can't. Something in my heart won't let go of God. I believe my story's not over. Amen. Don't quit. Give God the chance to write a good ending to your story. Don't quit. So many of the benefits of the kingdom relate to the ability to persevere. Now, just to help you, because you say, well, Pastor, I need more perseverance. Well, we all do. I remember in my junior year of high school, I played basketball. And then I went out for the track team. And so I went out to the track, and I thought I was in shape. But I found out there are different levels of being in shape. So I think the first quarter mile that I ran in 58 seconds, which is slow for a man. 1 year later, I ran it in 48 seconds. So my perseverance, my ability to endure in just 1 year increased by 10 seconds. That's like 20%. It's a big jump in running. So what happens is God develops. So right now, you're in training. And once the devil convinces people to jump their spot or to quit, it's hard to break through if you're in a new job every 18 months or a new relationship. A new city, a new church. And it's not that God doesn't have new things for us in seasons of life, but often people just jump because of hardships. They get offended and you can't allow offense to control the steering wheel of your destiny. Like that faith stuff doesn't work, that prophetic stuff doesn't work. I've got a prophecy, it never can. No, stop it. Hang in there. Amen. Tell the devil he's a liar. Persevere. There is a consequence of great reward. Romans 15 talks about the Bible itself. being an encourager of this, whatever things were written before, that'd be the old covenant, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of Scripture might have hope. Now may the God of patience, perseverance, and comfort. So God himself. So one of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, patience, self-control. So perseverance is part of the spiritual fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. So if you say, Pastor, I'm not very patient, that's just because you haven't developed your fruit yet. You can be patient, amen? Now, anybody here besides me, when I got yourself in debt because you weren't patient? Part of patience is the ability to delay self-gratification, to put things, I don't need that right now. And so the Lord helps you get that. I'm so glad for Pastor Mark being patient, waiting on God, things in his heart he wanted to do, but waiting on God, 7 years here. James 1 says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or perseverance, this fortitude, okay, this staying power. But let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So what does that mean? So that life will test you and circumstances will test you. But if you let it, you'll become stronger. Your staying power, your hang in there power will develop. How many are glad that you hung in there for your marriage or your business or your walk with God? So we all have ample chances, opportunities to quit. And one of the easiest ways to quit, especially in this generation that has exalted offense to be a virtue. So people did me wrong. Life will do you wrong. This world's an imperfect place because of sin. But don't quit what God's asked you to do until God's done. Amen? Michael Maiden's tombstone, okay? Did 1,000 things wrong. Here's the one thing I did right. He didn't quit. Pastor, how'd you have that great breakthrough in Phoenix? Didn't quit. Tempted to quit. Wrote a country album. Sorry. Okay, so we can't quit. Amen? James chapter 5. Verse 11, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job and see the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Now what's the end of Job? The end of Job is Job gets twice as much back as he lost. We think that most scholarship, biblical scholarship, thinks that the duration of his trial was 18 months. And you think about the way the church talks about it, it was 180 years. It was 18 months. But it was intense. It was powerful. He lost children. He lost wealth. He lost health. He lost respect. I mean, it was miserable. Now, when God restored him, he got everything back twice as much. They called the daughters of Job the most blessed women on the earth. He gave them full inheritance. You're almost with me. Your comeback is going to be so supernatural, so restorative, that people are going to talk about what God's done in your story. Don't quit. The third kind of soil was the weed soil among thorns. And that was the soil that had too much compromise, too much worldliness. So that simply means this, that we live in a world that invites us continually and aggressively to compromise our faith, our values, and our life. So in the kingdom of God, God honors uncompromising righteousness. Y'all with me? If you have young people, you'll hear them say this, well, everyone's doing it. Well, big whoopee. If everyone's jumping off a 20-story building, so what? It's not what everyone's doing, it's what God wants you to do. That's what matters, okay? And there is a payoff for living a moral life, for allowing the kingdom of God to develop holiness in you. There's a payoff. And the person that when we compromise, what happens, we grow but don't fulfill purpose. We don't bear fruit. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Put God first. Don't be snared by seeking wealth or fame or influence or whatever. Put God first. And all these things will be given to you. James was kind of tough on this subject. Here's what he said. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity? Enmity is things that are so hostile to each other, they're eternally enemies. Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So this is so essential. Now, it's not talking about a hostility where we shut off the world from us. It's talking about your own values. Okay? Your own value system. And not allowing the devil, so I'm counseling some preacher friends. So they started drinking a little. I'm not against drinking. Drink some wine if you want to. Just don't get drunk. Don't drink around people that have, don't ever drink around someone who used to be an alcoholic. Don't tempt them like that. If you know, I've never drunk, but if you drink, that's great, okay? Just don't get drunk. That the Bible separates the two. It says drink, but don't get drunk, okay? So that means the good thing about our communion thing, you can't get drunk on that much. It's not even wine. My wife reminded me, I visited my friend's Spirit-filled Episcopalian church where they serve real wine. I have had wine before at communion, and I've been repenting for 35 years. Now, so it's just this, that little things, it's the little foxes that devour the vine. So after a while, these little licenses, okay, I allow myself this little issue, it grows into then having twins and cousins and other issues. So they're always together. And so honor in your life, honor the leadership of the Holy Spirit when it comes to moral direction. So this isn't us anymore, but when Mary and I were first married, I'd watch a show and something would come on, and it didn't seem like it was bothering me, but a shoe would hit me in the head from across the room, and apparently it bothered my wife's moral compass. It has blessed me that my wife has had such a strong moral compass to help guide my, you know, stupidity sometimes or vulnerability. So it's really important to listen to the Holy Spirit and not quench him. Amen? So for example, in my life, the Holy Spirit, I get quenched whenever I say words that, because God uses me in words, whenever I say words that I know didn't come from the heart of God. And so when people ask me about topics or people or this, that, a lot of times I have nothing to say because I don't feel like God's given me something to say. I have no commentary about someone else's mistakes. Amen? All that the complaining heart is evidence someone's been listening to the voice of the enemy. Okay. Let's go on. Good ground. Everybody say good ground. Everybody say that's me. Okay. Here's the word of God. Noble heart has perseverance, bears fruit. So God's will is that you bear fruit. Now, so I want to say some things. The kingdom of God, this is massively important. The kingdom of God comes into your life in seed form. What is a seed? It's a potential. Okay? So God gives you answers by giving you potential, by giving you seed. Then it is our jurisdiction, our responsibility, our obligation to make that seed successful. So these four soils are a type of places in our heart, our soul. And so what we want to do is have a hearts that are ready to produce God's word. And if God's word isn't downloading us in and coming out of our life in a fruitful way, if we're not bearing fruit, then we need to do some yard work, some heart work, okay? Find out what's stopping it from flourishing, because the problem is never in the seed. Tonight, I will be ministering on prophetic words of deliverance, give you some unbelievable testimonies over the years, and then we're going to do it. So this morning, we can pray for someone and send God's word around the world, and God will do a miracle. I'm going to talk about those things tonight, man. It's going to be awesome, okay? But So when you say, oh, God, help me, God, help me, he helps you by sending his word to you. And often we misinterpret that. Oh, God, thank you for the scripture, but I really need help. I need money. I need this. But you don't understand, in that promise is your solution. In that seed is your harvest. In that heavenly revelation is your natural breakthrough. So the kingdom of God comes in seed. The sower sows the seed. The seed is the word of God, the word of the kingdom. The ground is our heart. Jesus said, John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask whatever you desire and it shall be done. Shall be done, geomene, to create something from nothing. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. Everybody shout, much fruit. So God wants us to produce. Now, what is fruit? Fruit is the evidence of a successful seed. A seed that was planted, that was watered, that was tended, now is grown up into some kind of crop that's bearing fruit. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Everybody shout, I'm chosen. And appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. So God's will is that his word produces fruit in our life. Be fruitful, multiply, the commandment of God to Adam and Eve, the Edenic commandment, the Adamic covenant. Be fruitful, multiply, that's God's will. Multiply and bear fruit. God wants us to be those people, amen, that bear fruit. Psalm 92, last scripture, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. God's word will keep producing as long as your heart keeps receiving. Amen. Hey, would you stand to your feet this morning and lift your hands to God? God, we celebrate you. We thank you for your love, your life, your truth, your grace, your blessing, and your word. Thank you, God, for giving us understanding hearts. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we boldly declare we can't understand the Bible. We can't understand the mysteries of the kingdom. We can't understand the parables of Christ. We can't understand the will of God for our life. Thank you for giving us hearts of understanding, Papa God. We honor you today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now, look at me for a second. The awesome thing about God is that God gives you more than one chance to receive the seed of blessing. Oh, Pastor, when I was younger, God gave, and I missed it. That's okay. He comes back around. He never changes his mind what he has for you. And so that means he will always come back into giving the opportunity to receive something you rejected or didn't receive before. Amen? This time, be ready. So this year, I'm ready for it, God. This year, I'm not going to miss it. This year, I want everything you have for me. Prayer team, would you come down front, please, as we close this service. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We worship you and adore you. Tonight, 6, prophetic service. Word of deliverance. Wednesday night, be ministering another parable. This whole month, for parables. It's going to be awesome. We're going to really grow in some really revelatory understanding of the awesome things God has for us. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray in this moment for healing, for life, for salvation, for deliverance, for freedom, for the lavish outpouring of your heart on your children today. That's what I want, Father. I want them to feel your heart. Make me an ambassador for that cause. And make this church a heart that beats for your kingdom in this region. If you need prayer for any reason, we want to pray for you. I have felt during the worship and all this time a healing grace here today. Let God heal you. We believe the Bible says, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them. The prayer of faith. The prayer of faith will save, heal, prosper, deliver the sick. We believe in that. Any two of you on green earth touching anything, it shall be done. We believe in prayer. Amen. So if you need prayer today for a physical need, we'd love to pray for you. If you've never received in your heart, in your life, the forgiveness of God in the person of Jesus, the Bible says whoever calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. Amen. Whoever is for anybody, God wants you to know his son. We'd love to pray for you. Or maybe you've been away from God. Make this your homecoming Sunday. start off a new season in life by coming back to God. Number three, if you've been a Christian for a while and not yet received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit with the scriptural evidence of a heavenly prayer language, that's for every believer. We call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit here. We'd love, be honored to pray for you today for the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you're just going through a tough time and say, Pastor, I just need prayer. Man, I'm going through a real storm. Anyone wanting prayer, come on down for it. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are.
It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. 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 And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
And sing, you're perfect.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
You are God.
Perfect in all of your ways. To us,
you are
perfect in all of your ways.
Perfect in all of your
ways. Perfect in all of your ways.
You are
perfect in all of your ways.
Thank you, Jesus. The Lord loves you. The Lord's for you. No weapon formed against you can prosper. This is your season of harvest. This is your day of victory, your day of breakthrough, your day of redemption and restoration. Things are changing. Hope is rising. Miracles are coming. Don't give up. God's doing something great in your life. My friends, have an awesome week. It's going to be an awesome month for you. Tell someone around you Jesus loves them. God bless you. See you back here tonight if you can make it.